So being seen and not seen, or heard and not heard, are extremely relevant to our sense of being. Knowing that, does it suggest anything about the way we might relate in our life? Say next time you go across the Golden Gate Bridge and you have to pay the toll. Do you ever see the toll booth operator, if you go through one? You know, it's a good practice to actually not just say, hello, I'm out of here, you know, but to actually make eye contact. A human being sitting in that box. Or to walk down the street, and again, you have to be careful, and especially women have to be careful. I'm not recommending, like, hey, well. But to actually see what's going on and see people. When the Dalai Lama walks into a room, and it's like with a fairly small number of people, he goes around and he bends down and he goes like this in front of you. He takes your hands and he kind of goes like this and looks in your eyes and giggles. And he looks into your face with this, like, he's just looking at you. Who is this? And it's such an incredibly accepting thing. This is very, very disarming. I mean, charming and wonderful. I mean, a lot of the time we don't see because we're not looking. That poem that I quoted from T.S. Eliot last night, that last stanza of Little Gidding, not known, he says, because not looked for, but heard, half heard, in the stillness between two waves of the sea. The stillness between two waves of the sea is like the space between two thoughts. With so much in our thoughts, we don't see any space in between. Not known because not looked for. So maybe it's time to start looking. How would we treat our children? I mean, what, if this means anything to you, are you actually seeing your children, ever? Or is once a week enough, you know? I mean, could you actually see them when you see them? Without the veils of all your, what they should do, or they didn't clean up their room, or, you know, you don't like their girlfriend or their boyfriend or whatever, but could you actually see this person in process unfolding their life? Incredible gift. Doesn't cost a thing. But it means that you have to make yourself available for seeing and actually available to be seen in case anybody wants to see you. Probably no one wants to see you. But in case, you know, be there. Practice just being there. And then you see all the people that write you off. Maybe you're not important enough. Have you noticed that prestige and celebrity is very important in this society? Have you noticed that? That if you are, like, you know, a prestigious person, everybody sort of like wants to know you. And if you're just a regular person, you're just a regular person. What do I need one more regular person for, you know, in my life? So we're constantly going around disrespecting each other, not even seeing each other. And then getting upset about it, like, well, I should be seen, you know, and then being attached to it one way or the other. This is a huge practice, just seeing. It's not just eyes. I mean, it's all the sense doors. You get that? It's all the sense doors. It's hearing the sound of the rain. It's feeling the envelope of the skin. Tasting. You know, the word touch. When we were writing the parenting book, we researched touch a little bit. And found that the word touch, according to Ashley Montague, and we checked it to make sure it was true, is the longest entry in the Oxford English Dictionary. It goes on for columns and columns and columns. The word touch, longer than love. I didn't check every single word in the English Dictionary to make sure it was the longest, but it was longer than love, the word touch. It's so fundamental. So fundamental. And we touch with our eyes. And we're touched with our eyes. We touch with our ears, and we're touched through our ears. You know, we're touching the world with all our senses, including mind. In Buddhism, mind is another sense door. And so as we cultivate a greater intimacy to how these things actually work, to the actual direct experience through these doors, then we don't have to get lost in them. But we can understand something about the traffic through direct experience and live inside that. Otherwise, we might actually miss huge pieces of our lives, huge areas that need tending or attention and tenderness, and we don't actually deliver. I'd like to read you a poem by Antonio Machado. The wind, one brilliant day, called to my soul with an odor of jasmine. In return for the odor of my jasmine, I'd like all the color of your roses. This is the exchange of touch. The wind, one brilliant day, called to my soul with an odor of jasmine. In return for the odor of my jasmine, I'd like all the odor of your roses. I have no roses. All the flowers in my garden are dead. Well then, I'll take the withered petals and the yellow leaves and the waters of the fountain. The wind left, and I wept, and I said to myself, what have you done with the garden that was entrusted to you? What have you done with the garden that was entrusted to you? It's a very kind of true place in which to stand in the sort of grief area, in the ashes area, and feel like maybe we've betrayed ourselves, maybe we've been poor caretakers in a certain way, Maybe we haven't been attending or tending the garden for a while. You know, sitting is a way of tending the garden. Like one of the teachers that I studied with said, when you sit, you're not creating more karma. You know, it's like keeping the kids off the street after school, something like that. But of course you're creating karma, you're just creating different karma by being willing to watch comings and goings and not act on them.